You've tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and it's time for the news with Aaron. And tonight we've got KKFI's very own Richard Mabian is here in the studio with us this evening, and Aaron's going to give us the news.
Thanks, Lady D. This is Natalie, Lee, and I've got your headline news. ColumbiaTribune.com reports, a $91,000 education grant from the Environmental Protection Agency to Columbia-based Missouri River Relief will help fund a four-day teacher workshop in the spring to encourage Missouri River literacy. The workshop will dovetail with the organization's initiative that brings the river to local high school students and, in some cases, brings the students to the river. Missouri River Relief sponsors twice yearly Missouri River experiences for Douglas High School students. Douglas is considered a school for at-risk youth, and many students have struggled to be successful at other Columbia schools. Getting those students on the river is a way to build trust and grow confidence, explains Jeff Reed, who teaches biology and environmental science at Douglas. Missouri River Relief also will use the EPA grant to support a four-day Missouri River Academy for teens in the summer, tentatively set for July. The organization still is looking for a venue close to the river for the summer camp, which will be offered to 20 youth this year and 30 youth in 2017. ClimateChangeNews.com reports, Nicaragua has become the first country to explicitly withhold a climate plan from a UN-backed global warming pact, as it says pledges let big polluters off the hook. Lead envoy Paul Oquist said it refuses to join 183 out of 195 countries in delivering an intended nationally determined contribution, or INDC, as they collectively fail to stop catastrophic levels of global warming. The Central American state is a tiny emitter with a 0.03% share of global emissions, but its refusal is a rebuke to the UN process. Venezuela, a fellow member of the ALBA negotiating bloc, is likely to follow suit and refuse outright a pledge, Oquist claimed. The bond-based UN climate body has requested all countries in a position to do so to submit INDCs to international efforts to hold global warming to 2°C. Nicaragua President Daniel Ortega wasn't among 150 world leaders to appear on Monday, making Oquist the country's most senior representative in Paris. He said wealthy countries should bear their historical responsibility for causing climate change and provide adequate climate finance. The 10 largest carbon polluters account for 72% of historical emissions, and the 100 smallest just 3%, he said. KansasCity.com reports, a proposed community solar farm in Independence, if approved by city officials, would be the largest in the Kansas City area. The Independence City Council will hear details during a Monday night study session. The 3-megawatt facility would generate renewable energy for Independence Power and Light, the city-owned utility. Independence has operated its own electric utility since 1901 and long has burned coal at two of the state's older coal-burning plants. Last year, the City Council approved a resolution encouraging the utility to generate 10% of its energy with non-carbon-based sources, unlike coal or natural gas, by 2018. The new solar farm could bring the utility's renewable energy production to about 13%. And finally, EcoWatch.com reports, on Friday, the U.S. Senate unanimously approved a bill phasing out the manufacture of beauty products with plastic microbeads for July 1, 2017, and the sale of such products by July 1, 2018. The Microbead-Free Waters Act bans all plastic microbeads in beauty products, including those made from so-called biodegradable plastics, the majority of which do not biodegrade in marine environments. The Microbead-Free Waters Act, introduced by Representatives Frank Pallone from New Jersey and Fred Upton from Michigan, will prevent 1.4 trillion plastic microbeads from entering U.S. waterways each year. Plastic microbeads designed to be washed down the drain and too small to be reliably captured by wastewater treatment facilities pollute lakes, rivers, and oceans. Once in the environment, plastic microbeads concentrate toxins such as pesticides and flame retardants on their surface, which may then transfer to the tissue of fish that mistake microbeads for food. A recent study found that 1/4 of fish found at California fish markets had ingested plastic. One tube of exfoliating face wash can contain more than 350,000 microbeads. That's all for the news. I would like to introduce Mr. Richard Mabian.
Well, thank you, Lady Naturally, and hello, everyone. I'm back again. I don't know what it is with me and my fate this month, but I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, the second time that I've had to do a show where the guest is going to be calling in. So those of you who can remember the last time, we were experiencing a lot of difficulties, so let's keep our fingers crossed that everything is going to work out, and we'll have a good show. The guy that was just here, I want to mention something about Mark before I get started. The beekeeper, you know, that is a treasure right there. And I think it's someone that we need to, all of us environmental folks out here, need to kind of bring him into our community.
And his name is Mark Montgomery, and he's a local musician. And you can just basically type in Mark Montgomery, and his website will come up, and all the information will be there. But he's been a long-time beekeeper. I know at least 20 years.
Right.
And he's local, which is very, very important.
Yeah, I think that when I was listening to it as I was on the way in, and everything he was talking about is so true, that we are in trouble with the bee count in this country. And there's some things that he can do. So any of you out there that feel like you got a need to want to do something, any of you out there that's looking for beeswax, or any of you out there that wants to see if there's a way you can create you some kind of little extra income, get in touch with Mark. If you can't find him there, shoot an email to our Eco Radio website, and we'll get back with you as soon as we can. All right. Now, tonight's show, the person who I was going to have on unfortunately had a death in the family, and so I had to call on one of my associates to see if she could fill in, and she so graciously agreed to do so. Her name is Rachel Jefferson. Rachel, will you say hello to everyone?
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Okay, is that coming across okay? We can hear it all right? Okay, just want to check to make sure you was able to, people were able to hear you, Rachel. Rachel, I'm glad to have a chance to talk to you. I'm kind of excited about this because you're kind of a phenom, if I may use that for lack of a better word, because of what you have been able to accomplish in such a small amount of time in engaging yourself in this environmental world. What is the name of your company? Do you have a name for your company? That's how raw I am about the things that you do.
Oh, yes. Well, currently I am the executive director of the Historic Northeast Midtown Association, which is one of the 8 neighborhood revitalization organizations operating in Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay, so you primarily use that as your occupation now, right?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Because I have known you from time to time to have worked for some other organizations in town, like a health program or something like that, right?
Oh, yes, Richard. Well, you and I have known each other for a really long time. And before me, you were working with my father before he passed. So, you know, I've been active in Wyandotte County ever since I returned home pretty much from college.
Yeah, I'm...
initiatives... all around the county.
Yeah, I want to make sure that people are aware that you're not like an overnight sensation. You come from a background of people who are environmental minded. Yes, I did know your father very well, and also your mother. Your mother's been actively involved in the environmental issues and things.
Yes,
and your brother.
Very active involved.
And your brother.
You know, always just felt very strongly about community engagement, grassroots engagement, and providing opportunities for local residents to engage in skill-building activities and improve their quality of life.
Okay. I know that in my lifetime, in my time of knowing you, you and your family had the garden over there on Fifth Street, and your brother was involved. It's kind of a family thing. And one of my favorite pictures that I have is of you and those young people sitting at the conference. You used to come to the Break in the Silence conference. You were a regular. So we have history. We have history, and I'm really glad to see you continuing to evolve in this community. So many of us parents my age are not fortunate enough to have our offspring walking in our path. So you're a rarity in that regards, because you're following right along in the path that your parents set for you. So that's saying a good thing about you all and what
you're
doing.
Oh, well, you're too kind. You know, I think that When I came home, my parents imbued me with that sense of community and really seeing it myself firsthand. I was working in a safety net clinic and just seeing the everyday struggles of people and how it's really hard to invest back in your community if you are constantly under different environmental and social stressors that really prevent you from engaging wholeheartedly.
Okay. Now, I hope you don't mind. I'm a dab a little bit into your background here. First of all, you were attending a school in New York somewhere. Is that right? I mean, I'm talking high school or something, right?
Connecticut, yes. I went to Miss Porter School in Farmington, Connecticut.
Say that again. Say that again. I didn't get it clear enough.
I said, yes, I went to school in Farmington, Connecticut, Miss Porter School for Girls.
Miss Porter?
Yes.
You sound like one of those English kind of persons going to one of those fancy schools. That's great. But the thing about that experience that stood out in my mind the most, and I know you probably don't want to talk about this stuff, but you spent some time in China. Is that right?
I did. Yes, my junior year of high school, I spent a school year abroad in Beijing. And it was a wonderful experience. I always encourage the young people that I work with to always consider traveling, not just as an option or as a vacation, but as a pursuit, because I really firmly believe that the more that we can initiate ourselves into the global environment, the wider we expand our own knowledge of ourselves and of other people. And exposure to culture is one of the best ways to do that.
Fantastic. And, you know, and I think that makes you, set you miles above folks, especially in this part of the country, if you having those experiences. And that's what makes it so valuable.
Well, you're really too kind. Well, I think that I wish that people had more opportunities.
Right.
To do those types of things, to really explore what it is that would make them happy, as opposed to just kind of following a chosen path that was already set out in front of them.
Well,
and so I was really blessed to have that opportunity, both family support and social support that really encouraged me to explore those different avenues.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you, because you bring that to this environmental world that we have in the Kansas City metropolitan area. And that's real valuable. A lot of the folks that we got out here, as you know, working in this environmental world, are just local folks that decided they wanted to get into it and spent some time learning some things about it and have jumped out here to get their feet wet. But you're bringing such a tremendous value to it, especially with our young people coming up as far as your IMs are concerned. So I really appreciate that in you. One more stop on you before I cut you loose. And then you ended up going to Georgetown. Woo, girl, I got you down. I got you down now. Come on. With the Georgetown.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time on the East Coast,
yes.
And really all that time on the East Coast was wonderful, and I learned a lot and met a ton of different people who really influenced who I am today. But in the end, I decided to come back home because I felt that I could really make a large impact here.
Yes.
I missed it. I missed the Midwest vibe and the friendliness and the smiling faces that you just don't get on the East Coast, or really on either coast.
Well, I can
you know, I'm just so fortunate to be able to work with people that really care about this county, and especially now are really looking at the environmental concerns, environmental stressors, people like you. Who are looking at the environment that's causing our people to be sick and saying, how can we do differently and how can we help people know what they don't know? Because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And that's just the truth.
Well, I consider you, and I'm not just saying this to be flattery, like flattering BS or anything, but I do consider you a treasure, a hidden treasure that we have here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you blossom and explode into on the scene. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the air, because I wanted to introduce you to not only the KKFI community, but I want to introduce you to the environmental community. I want them to know we have you sitting over there in Kansas City, Kansas, and that's a good feeling for us. A lot of these old folks out here that are doing what we do are my age, and I want to say older, but I guess I'm getting to the point that it's my age or, you know, around my age. And to see someone your age coming up that's grabbing a hold to it as much as you are, that's rewarding for all of us, especially those environmental folks that are out there listening in. Now, one thing I noticed about you in your conversation that's completely different than mine and many other folks who I associate with in this environmental world, I speak more in terms of environment and conservation, but you speak a lot about health. So give me a little understanding of where you are with that health issue, which is an important issue.
Well, you know, we at HNMA are really looking at the different health disparities in our area, and we really have two focuses. One is health and one is economics. But we firmly believe that the two are tied hand in hand very closely, and that you can't have a healthy community if you don't have an economically viable and strong and empowered community. So we really look at environment and the ways we can improve our environment as a tool to help people build skills that will, in the end, as I said, improve their quality of life. So we're looking at several different sites right now. One of them is John Garland Park, the former sanitary landfill. And we really want to engage the community in a community conversation about how we could turn this site from an environmentally negative site to a positive asset. What can we do that would create some type of educational workforce development stimulant to really enlighten and lift up the area that park is located in, which is a traditionally economically depressed area?
Okay. Do me a favor. Spell out what the letters are for your organization. The Northeast. You know what I'm talking about?
The acronym
that you're giving.
The acronym. Okay. The acronym for organization is the Historic Northeast Midtown Association, and it's HNMA. And it's one of the MBRs in our county, and that means that we are geographically aligned with different areas in Kansas City, Kansas.
You know,
and our area is the 66101, 102, and 104 zip code.
Okay, just in case we have folks on the line that are not familiar with the MBA, I mean, what those what that stand for, will you explain that too?
Sure, yeah, the MBRs are Neighborhood Business Revitalization Organizations, and there are eight of them in the Kansas City, Kansas area, and they are contracted with Unified Government to fulfill a scope of services aligned with their 9 strategic goals. And so those goals range everywhere from recreation to public safety, health, social services, education, supportive services, workforce development. And because each of the MBRs are aligned with different geographic areas, they all tackle different issues. But the idea is that they all tackle them through the lens of community impact and improvement, and always with the intent of in benefit to the neighborhood residents.
Okay. Now, do you provide hands-on type services, or do you provide educational services?
Absolutely. Currently, we have the Learn to Earn program, which is a 8-week summer program where we work with youth age 10 to 15 intensively for 8 weeks. We place them in local businesses where they spend half days learning how to learning the principles that govern a person's behavior on the job, the right and wrong ways to interface with their boss, coworkers, and resolve conflicts. They also go through mock job interviews and job applications. And it's a really great program. Actually, we're in talks right now to expand the program to a year-round program and taking the eldest kids out of that summer program and working with them in an investment club, where we then would teach the kids the basic principles of economics, the money management, and investment, and they could even monitor stocks and invest play money into stocks. The great thing about Learn to Earn is that at the end of the program, the kids receive a stipend for their time. So they learn that benefit of working and being rewarded for your work and for a job well done. And that reinforces all the positive behavior that they've been shown and modeled throughout the program.
Okay.
So it's a really great economic tool that we're using to uplift the youth, because we firmly believe that strong kids grow into stronger, productive adults.
All right. Well, we got to take a break here for a second, Rachel. We'll be right back to you.
Thank you.
And if you have just tuned in, you've tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and it is 18 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock, and we'll be right back with you after this break.
All right, I'm back again, and I realized when I opened up the show I didn't say happy holiday to everyone out there, and I apologize for that. I should have, because my better half is out of town with the grandbaby, so my Christmas is spent talking to folks, so I'm talking to all of y'all saying Merry Christmas, and my dog says Merry Christmas, too. Okay, Rachel, coming back to you. So we got the youth programs that we're working with. Now, I don't know if you're doing any of this, but don't you have some plans to get involved in some kind of health-related programs? I don't know if you're doing it or not yet, but I've been in meetings with you where you were thinking in terms of maybe
doing. I'm sorry, Rich, you cut out there at the very end. You said, don't we have plans to get involved with
some health-related programs?
Absolutely. Right now we're very involved in the Enroll Wine Dot initiative, so I just want to give a shout-out. If anybody needs enrollment assistance for the 2016 enrollment period, please call your local 211 United Way, and they'll be able to get you in touch with a certified application counselor who can give you in-person assistance, help you enroll or re-enroll into the health insurance marketplace. And that's a very important initiative that we're involved in, as well as other Wyandotte County entities, to get people enrolled in the health insurance they need, and if they are eligible for health insurance, to connect them with the different resources, safety net resources, and clinics that they can attend that will be able to provide them their direct health services.
You know, while you're talking, I'm listening to you, and most of the time when we're talking to folks here on the air, then the environmental community, you know, you people who have an environmental organization that focus primarily on environmental stuff, but you, your program is more inclusive than that. You're more about the well-being. You're more about the well-being of the entire person and our community, and that's a good place for the environmental community to be. So you really kind of setting a standard that others may want to try to achieve. Now, I'm not in no way putting any of the other environmental organizations in the city down, because there are some. You have Ivanhoe over there that engage in a lot of neighborhood kind of circumstances, but there are more just individual environmental organizations. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. I think I do. And one of our goals at HMA is to really look at the whole person holistically. We want to look at economics, we want to look at the health, but the environment is also a big portion of it. And so, you know, we're really looking at what can we do as far as helping people's built environment and infrastructure to improve their well-being. But we're also looking at what is making people sick inside their own homes. So, for instance, we're working with Children's Mercy on trying to create a healthy homes assessment program here on the Wyandotte County side, because right now there isn't one. And this would be a program where someone could come into your house and help you look at the acute and chronic issues of your home that may be making you or the people in your house sick, such as poor ventilation or keeping your house contaminant-free, or even how to clean properly. You know, these are some things that, unfortunately, we're not all taught. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at as far as your indoor environment, your built environment. But then we also realize that there are environmental contaminants in the world around us. So, for instance, in Wyandotte County, as you know, we have a lot of vacant lots. Well, there used to be houses that stood on these lots, and these houses contained lead. So now what we have is we have a lot of vacant land that unfortunately is contaminated with lead. And so when people start talking about growing food on these lots or even just people walking back and forth across these lots, you have to look at the little environmental things that are causing people to be sick. And that's what we're trying to do at HMA.
Okay. So now, do you do any work in pulling other community organizations into your area of concentration? We know we have several. I was just with one last Saturday that did a Christmas thing up there at a JFK. Gave away.
We do a lot of work with several different community organizations in our area.
Okay.
Actually, one of our programs that we run is a pilot program we started this past summer called Learn to Earn Step 2.
Okay.
Working with older kids age 16 to 18 and working with them on minor home repair. On this program, we partnered with Shepherd Center of Kansas City. I'm sure you're familiar with
right,
a lot of the good work they do
right.
around minor home repair. And we took these kids, and as you're aware, we had that horrible storm this summer, and a lot of trees were felled and came down, and unfortunately, there are a lot of elderly and disabled people who cannot afford to do this tree cleanup. So we took these kids around, and we did this tree cleanup in partnership with Shepherd Center so that people could get these trees removed off their homes and would not be in violation of the codes department. And in that way, not only were we able to provide the youth with a focus on machinery, equipment, and mechanical skills, but we also provided a medium for youth and elderly in our community to communicate and grow understanding and bridge that intergenerational rift that exists in our service area. So the partnerships that we have with different community organizations are very important to the work that we do because there's no way that we could do it all and no way we would actually want to do it all. We feel it's very important to leverage resources in our area to really have the maximum impact.
Okay. And I know for a fact we have some listeners that live in and around Big 11. They call in from some time and just to say hello and all that kind of stuff. What would they have to do to be able to come affiliated with you all? Do you have a meeting? Is there a meeting?
You said, what would they have to do to
become affiliated
with our organization?
Yeah, to be a member of your organization.
Oh, well, it's as simple as giving me a call at 913-573-2010. That's our office line. Or they can visit our website, which is hnmanbr.org, or they could find us on Facebook. So there's a couple different ways that they can get in touch with us, and we are welcoming members and people that just want to volunteer or just want to learn more about what we're doing, because until 2012, our area here in Wyandotte County did not have an MBR representation.
That's right.
There have been several MBRs that have been going on for 20, 30, 40 years even, and we didn't have one until 2012. So a big part of our mission is just to let people know what we're doing, what we're about, and that we're here to serve as a resource to them. And if we can't provide the direct services they need, we will definitely get them in touch with people who can.
Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to have you give those numbers and addresses again and repeat them at least a couple of times and give folks a chance to write them down, okay? Just in case there's somebody that didn't have a pencil in their hand and they'd ran and got
Absolutely.
It now. So they'd
Absolutely.
Ran and got it now. So let's start again. What's the phone number?
So my office phone number is 913-573-2010.
Okay.
Again, that's 913-573-2010.
Okay, very good.
And just call, leave me a message. I will get back with you.
And for those who...
They can also find us on Facebook if they were just to Facebook Historic Northeast Midtown Association.
Okay.
Again, Historic Northeast Midtown Association. We're there on Facebook. All of our contact information is there. The link to our website and everything as well.
Okay, don't forget, those of you listening, this is Rachel Jefferson that we're talking to. So if you call the number and you let her know that you heard her speak on the KKFI show and you want to get some more information about what's going on, it's no sense in having an organization in the community that's doing the kind of things that this organization is doing, and I'm very much aware of what they're doing, that you don't try to figure out a way that you can be a part of it. This is just don't. It has to come from us. It has to come from within. How many people do you have associated with your NBR?
Well, we have 13 different neighborhood associations in our service area, and those are just the active neighborhood associations. We actually have a 10.1 square mile service area, so we have a lot of ground to cover, and we work with a lot of great neighborhood residents and local, like we said, local community organizations to accomplish our goals, but we're always looking for more, hands at the table, because any change that we want to accomplish, whether it be economic, health, environmental, it has to come from us. It has to come from the ground up. It has to express our interests and our wants and our needs in order for it to be truly sustainable. And I know that's all. I know that's exactly what you're about, Richard, is sustainability and continuity. And if you're going to create something, make sure that it's going to have a lasting impact.
Well, Rachel, I'm going to say we're going to bring this to an end. I'm going to let you say your final wrap up here to folks about what you would like, to leave with them. So whatever you think can be your little elevator kind of pitch here, you got to give me a chance to do it.
Well, thank you so much. And, again, I just want to thank everybody at KKFI for having me on tonight. I'm really sorry I couldn't be there in person, but I'm so thankful to be here with you guys this week before Christmas. And really all I want to say is that, you know, get involved. If you know of an organization, it doesn't have to be H&MA. We may not be in your area, but there's someone out there that is doing work and they could use your help. So I firmly believe the Christmas season is all about giving back, and so that is what I would like to leave your listeners with. Just find some time to give back to those around you and the community around you. And, again, just thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, one more time before you go. Will you tell them what that NBR stands for?
Okay, the NBR is a Neighborhood Business Revitalization Organization.
All right, you got a lot of acronyms over there. So
I
make
know,
sure.
You got too many.
Yeah, I want to make sure folks out there that are just tuning in are hearing what you're saying. Rachel, thanks a lot. I love you. I tell your mom I said hello, your brother and your husband and all that stuff you got going for you over there in your neighborhood. And God bless you, and we know that you're going to continue to prosper. Thank you now.
Thank you, Richard. God bless you, too.
Okay. All right, Dave, we're going to take a break here with you, and we'll be right back. Oh, okay. I'm back to you again. That was a really good interview. I'm real impressed with Rachel and her family, and they're, you know, there's some of those unsung heroes out there that you don't hear a whole lot about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sitting here with Naturally, and she didn't know that she was going to be my next guest, so when I told her on the break, it was her turn. She kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? So she has no idea where I'm coming from, so y'all, this should be very interesting. But I thought that since you have become a part of our whatever you call us, our host, I remember you coming in raw,
right,
with very little
no radio experience,
no knowledge of the environment, maybe a little bit. I won't say no knowledge of the environment because I'm not for sure.
I had a passion.
You had a passion. So what I want to know is, now that you've been here, how long have you been with us?
Oh, a year and a half, couple years.
Wow, it's been that long.
I know, it just flies.
No wonder I'm looking over, time is flying by. What do you think? Now that you've been here, what do you think about this? What do you think about what we got going on here?
Well, really, I got to thank Mike Murphy, who isn't with us tonight. He's traveling for the holidays, but I really got to thank him for putting me on, because it's really just been exhilarating. And you know, like Rachel, our previous guest just spoke about getting involved in the community. That's why I sought out KKFI as a way to give back to the community, you know. And it so happened that Eco Radio was going to be the show I would be a part of. And so it's just, yes, Richard, I have learned so much more about the environment and active players in our community, and that's key. You know, if you're somebody who wants to get involved but you don't know where to start, that's all right, because there are so many people across our greater metro area that have already started, and so you can just, you know, that's a good bandwagon to yeah. jump on, right?
Yeah, I'm real proud. I'm really impressed. I really like what's going on in Kansas City, Kansas, and Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
In the environmental world, I think we have some excellent folks. I mm-hmm. think we have some fantastic food production programs.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to start tomorrow an environmental organization, mm-hmm. what would you do?
Oh, Richard, I already have ideas. I don't know if I should just put it out there like that. I'm working on it, you know. But I would definitely stay focused on the area that I live in. I think it's important to keep, you know, like Rachel was talking about, the world in your mind, you know, keep a world view. But I think just from my experiences, it's best to focus where you're at and then maybe connect with others and who are doing work in other places. But so if I were to start an environmental sort of something, I would just definitely focus on the area I'm at, and it would involve young people, right? Because
right.
young people are the future. And I remember being young and having ideas about pollution, and we would drive by down on the highway, drive 35 north, and just seeing all the stuff going in the air as a young child. And I'm like, that can't be good, right? But, you know, I'm 7 or whatever. No one. Okay, yeah, I'm still a young child.
Yeah, thank you, Dorothy.
Okay. But you know, I'm sure I had some ideas then, and if we meet, and they say the same brain that created the problem isn't going to come up with the solution, right? So I think we really got to put these young people on in front and listen to what they got to say and put that together with the science that we already know.
Well, you know, you're saying that, and I'm sitting here thinking that maybe we ought to expand your role here.
Hey.
And start thinking in terms of you maybe having a chance to interview some folks. In fact,
mm-hmm.
I think we might have a chance this next Monday, right?
Yeah, I do some interviews on the show occasionally, and
yeah.
I guess eco radio-wise right now I'm looking, and this is great if anybody's listening and would like to be a part of this, you know, give us a call at the station.
Right.
Right now I'm working on finding out about the environmental clubs and environmental movements in the colleges and university, because Kansas City area has so many colleges and universities, and I do the news every Monday, and so I read a lot about other colleges and young people spurring action on campus, you know, getting their colleges to divest from fossil fuels. And so I love hearing that. I love reporting that good news. I love reporting young people doing stuff. But I want to know what the college campuses and people are doing here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So right now I'm trying to gather up everybody that is a part of the environmental club and just getting them here on the air so they can let everyone know in Kansas City what they're doing. At Avila, UMKC, you know, Culinary Institute. Don't we have a Culinary Institute?
Yeah.
We got just any of the metropolitan community colleges,
right.
Art institutes, all of it.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think Kansas Community College has a fantastic STEM education series over there. I can't speak to all the other schools because I'm like you, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. But I know for a fact that they have built a heck of a greening of America
mm-hmm.
programs over there, for a best way for me to say it, that people can get some pretty daggum good training out of there. And
mm-hmm.
I know they have some graduates that are working all over the country. They immediately get jobs different
mm-hmm.
places. So I'm glad for that. I'm like you. I'd like to see more being done from our younger ages to
mm-hmm.
create that pipeline to those colleges.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to know what the colleges are doing, because
mm-hmm.
when we're out there, just like Rachel talking to the folks that live
mm-hmm.
in and around our neighborhood, and if we're making recommendations or referrals, we need to know what's going on around
right.
the city. And so that's a good thing to do. Now, here's an issue. Let's get your opinion of it.
Sure.
Okay. I'm finding that the industry, the nation itself is calling for collaboration. They're calling for us to start working together in such a way that we fill each other's voids, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in an environment where people are reluctant to trust other folks.
Well.
Okay, now we live in that environment. But the the betterment of this nation is going to require
working together
to bridge that gap.
That's right.
Now, from your young perspective,
yes, Richard.
What would you see as being a way to deal with that, just to approach it?
Well, you know, as much as I believe in, you know, young people, I also believe in love and the power of love. And sure, you could say we live in a time where today we, you know, we have a lot of harder time trusting. But I think we've probably had just as hard a time trusting at any other time. It just depends on what we're focusing on. You know, it's all about perception. So, and I definitely believe in unity. That's what's gonna bring about change and positive change, because we got to work together. We all got to work together, and we can work together. We can do it. You know, we can do it. So, how would I say that to get that started? I would say just take a chance. You know, and just you as an individual, whoever you are, just take a chance. You know, take a chance of doing something you wouldn't normally do. You know, and you'll see that there is goodness anywhere, everywhere.
Well, the reason I come in from that perspective, because I think it's going to be your generation's responsibility to make it happen.
Well,
to be honest with you, because the generation that's older than you are, or have a tremendous amount of difficulty in being able to even fathom that this person sitting next to me could actually be of value. There's got to be something up.
That's so awful. I know it is. It's horrible.
That's the world that we have now. That's what makes Donald Trump be seen as an icon or as a star, because he's addressing that issue. Those people that are standing out there in his crowd are not bad people.
No.
They are people that are tired. They're tired. They're tired of the system. Boy, I mean, Dorothy's ready to explode. They are tired of the system that we live under, not the beautiful government that we have.
And
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the backstabbing stuff that we all know that goes on. And so what he's doing is manipulating his message into that direction.
Sure.
But it's because it exists.
Yes. Go ahead, Lady D.
Well, I just want to say that, to your point about love, that when we had the World Series here and we had that parade.
Yes.
And there were 800,000 people.
Good job, Kansas City.
Three incidents.
Mm-hmm.
And in the air, it was very, very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Which says to me that the consciousness can change.
Yes.
And we had evidence of that. So, you know, to your point about how the possibilities, and I think that, you know, what you focus on, you get more of.
Yes. That's right.
So I think we don't need to give our energy to Donald
Trump.
That's
right. Don't even say his name.
Right. Exactly. That's what he wants. So I think that we should have, like, what would it be, a Trump out? No one speak his name. That's much more effective.
He should not be named.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lady D.
Up until the last part, I was with you 100%. I do think that what happened with the Royals, because, see, I'm one of those person that believes, you know, we have people that are very much uptight with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found and used in life and continue to do is find something for people to do. And you'd be surprised when you find, if you all who know me know that that's what I've done since I've been in this industry. When I started the conference, it brought people together for something other than what they normally would do. And they got a chance to once a year start meeting each other from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, relationships blossom.
Our hearts change.
Yeah, the relationships blossom. This program became a factor out of the beginning then. That's how it came all about. We said, hey, let's do this. Let's make this happen. So when you give people, we got to start finding things for people to come together on. That's why collaboration is so important.
That's right.
And it all starts in the mind.
Well, granted, I agree.
In the mind. Everything starts in the mind. And war starts in the mind.
Right.
So peace can start in the mind.
That's right.
Right.
And I don't even really think we need a consciousness change. I just really think we need a perspective change.
Yeah.
I believe the consciousness is already here.
Yeah.
800,000 people showed up. We didn't know 800,000 people showed up. We showed up because we were excited that our city was on top.
Yeah.
That's why we showed up. We showed up because we wanted to celebrate. We showed up because we waited so many years to celebrate, right? We just showed up.
Right.
You know? We didn't know it was going to be 800,000.
San Francisco, when they won, there were riots.
Yeah.
There were.
But this is Kansas City.
But my point is, you know, there's a lot of violence in this city.
Right.
It's not like this is a city where there are no guns.
Okay.
This
is
not like this is a city where there's no violence.
Reality.
Right. And so the fact that we were able to have that happen, and the night that they won, and people were up all night partying, drinking, all the things that usually come with violence, and there was no violence. So to me, that says
you're right, Lady D,
that you can do that.
You're right, Lady D.
That's basically it. I'm saying that right now, your generation, if I may say that, you, Rachel, and all of y'all, have a closeness about you that people my age never had. You have a closeness about you.
That's a beautiful
thing.
And
a lot of times I see people that have those frictions between each other living in a way they think they're supposed to live more so than how they really are. Like, I think I'm supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm supposed to do when something like that happens to me. And is really acting out something that they've heard about or that they know about from the past. You all aren't there. You're a lot closer to each other as far as harmony and the whole relationship thing. And I think right now, I keep saying it's more about wisdom than it is, like you said, a change of concept. I think the consciousness is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how to gear and work with it. Someone's pointing at the...
So we need to let everyone know that if they have just tuned in, the time is 46 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. And if you have just tuned in, you've tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and you're listening to Eco Radio KC. We've got KKFI's very own Richard Madigan is here with us this evening. And naturally, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we're going to be right back after this break.
See you there. All right, this song took me back to the 60s there for a second. I thought I was at the Monterey Pop Festival for you.
60s weren't all bad.
Did you go there?
Yes, I was.
Are you
kidding? I am KKFI's lone person who was at the Monterey Pop Festival.
That's incredible.
R.J. and them used to have me in. He used to have me in on the anniversary day so I'd be on the air and tell them about my experience.
Wait, Richard. Was Jimi Hendrix there?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, he was.
He is my favorite. And
Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were all there.
But Jimmy, though.
Oh, yeah. But Janis was okay, too.
But Janis.
Yeah. Getting back to our environment. I'm sorry there, folks. Okay, I'm coming for you. Bring it to me, naturally. What do you have to say? I'm going to let you bring the issue to me.
Well, Richard,
yes, ma'am.
I just feel like you brought up a whole bunch of big issues, big topics when you were speaking and you brought up the political climate.
Yeah.
And then Lady D, when she was talking about the violence in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't want to look at these things because they're hard to look at, right? But but we got to talk about these kinds of things because if we don't talk about it, then we don't do anything about it, and they just get swept under.
But we don't want to just talk about it. We want to take action.
Yeah,
right.
We have to take action. I think if we could talk about it and make it real, a lot more real than it is, because we hear about things. And it's become so common that we're very cavalier with it now. We don't really, it doesn't have the impact on us. It doesn't have the impact it should have.
As a young person then, let me ask the elders then. Let me ask.
How dare you?
Why? No, that's a term of respect. And you have a wisdom and a knowledge that I don't have, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And we're from the 60s.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You saw Jimi Hendrix, so. Let me just ask you then, what would the action that we could take surrounding the violence in Kansas City, surrounding the issue?
Well, again, I think that we can all just do something. And I have new teeth and they could fall out any minute. But we can all do something. You know, we all, and especially because we have this vehicle right here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you never know who's listening. And so I think that if you just encourage your peers to think before they act, there, you know, all these things that we all, doesn't cost anything, doesn't take a movement,
mm-hmm.
but we all in our individual lives
right.
affect other people. And if we make the determination to really be conscious of saying to young people, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And not just act like we're afraid of all young people
mm-hmm.
and all this, you know, because mostly they just want to be acknowledged as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we make a conscious effort to really change our personal environment,
mm-hmm.
it's a ripple effect. That's how it starts.
Yeah.
Just like you said, just like this show started, that was just an idea
right.
in someone's
yeah.
mind first.
Right.
So if we have the idea that we're going to change our environment, our own personal environment,
right.
then it will, I believe, that it spreads.
You know, my final days in the social service world was as a group therapist in a court-committed juvenile program in St. Louis. And I worked under a treatment modality that has me sitting here where I am today. It's the best I ever worked under. Now, when I talk in terms of treatment modality, they had everything from behavior mod to transcendental meditation. They always experimenting with something to try to figure out how to reach people. Well, this one was called positive peer culture. It's the greatest one ever, written by a doctor named Harry Barath. And it was probably the greatest program I ever worked in my life. And because of my own background and my
speaking to the mic,
because of my own background and my experiences, I was probably I excelled. I went from a rookie to the prime person in a matter of no time, you know. And really saw how you could help people. We were helping people. The biggest problem that we had was, regardless of how good we made somebody feel, when they left there, if they didn't have a world to continue that feeling through the process, we lost them. And that's what brought me out of the social service world and into the world to try to create ways for people to continue to have those positive experiences. And that's where we are. We need to make sure that we do what we got to do to create a positive experience for people to see, to understand that I can be that way. We have to be able to overcome the negative leaders that exist in
mm-hmm.
our community. First of all, we
yeah.
got to know they exist.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about your gangbangers. I'm yeah. talking about the folks that's sitting around going, you can't be nothing, you're not going to be nothing, you haven't, your mama wasn't nothing, your
right.
daddy wasn't. Those kind of folks that are just totally destroying the consciousness of our young people to say, this is my, I might as well do this because I'm not going to amount to nothing.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. So that would be my direction, and that's what I'm working on even now as we speak, even in the meetings that I got. I get to meet with Hillary's people tomorrow.
Mm, wow. Okay.
I'm going to tell her that they ought to come on that Eco Radio
that's
show.
That's right. Bring Hillary on.
Yeah. All right, Dave. We have reached that point where we got to get ready to call it evening. It's always fun, and I really enjoyed us having this time. And Lady, I think naturally, I think you have something there for us before we give it back
yeah.
to Lady.
Okay. I have just one event for you all today. The Missouri Department of Conservation's Burr Oak Woods Nature Center is offering a free film festival 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 26th. Films about conservation and nature will be shown throughout the day. The festival is a chance to combine indoor and outdoor fun to connect with nature in between holiday observances. The films are indoors while the Nature Center has 6 hiking trails outdoors where visitors can connect with nature. And if you would like more information about this event, find the link posted to our Eco Radio Facebook page. And while you're there, go ahead and give us a like.
Okay. Thank you. And Richard, do you have anything else?
No, that's it. Merry Christmas, everybody. And, you know, I'll be here. Naturally, and I and Dorothy will be here next Monday night again.
All right. Dorothy.
Love it.
Have my sons and my grandsons with me.
So good.
Young
people. I'm doing my part for peace.
That's right.